This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to another stop on our blessed journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the ayat from the 25th and the 26th juz of the Quran, including Surah Al-Zukhruf, Surah Al-Dukhan, Surah Al-Ahqaf, and Surah Al-Jathiyah. All of these surah are surah Makkiyah, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca al-Mukarramah. And all of these surah have significant ayat that show the characteristics of the Quran of Mecca, including the dialogue between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Mecca, who were rejecting Islam, some of their allegations, some of their excuses, some of their arguments against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the ayat that showed the magnificence and the glory and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and some of the ayat that are talking about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servants, and with the preparation or the promise of a reward for the believers and the promise of punishment for the non-believers. Starting with Surah Az-Zukhruf. Az-Zukhruf is ornament, something that beautifies, something that's meticulously weaved or woven or composed to form something that's beautiful and comfortable to the eye to look at. And the non-believers in this surah again are arguing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are denying the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that this Qur'an was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing new in its own self. It's just a continuation of the messages of the previous prophets that preceded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Quraysh had a certain knowledge about, because again, there were Christians, there were Jews, there were people who still worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way of worship of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and they used to call themselves Al-Hunafa. And among them, one of the most famous of them was Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, who used to live in Mecca al-Mukarramah, and he was expecting the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another one who used to be of the Hunafa, with the true understanding and true worship of Christianity or the fellowship of Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, was Waraqa ibn Nawfal, the cousin of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the question, or telling us about the question in its answer, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. So even these pagans, these idol worshippers of Quraysh, when you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they cannot say it was Al-Lat or Al-Uzza or Hubal or Mana or any of the idols that they are worshipping. They acknowledge that the creator of the heavens and the earth is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their excuse was, when asked why do you worship the idols, they would say, well, they bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as sinners, we cannot approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great, the magnificent, directly. So we're taking a go-between, which are these idols. And they say, if Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, we would not have worshipped them. And that's again a false argument. And they said, in the justification of why they're worshipping these idols, inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummah, وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. We found our ancestors doing this thing, and we're just following their footsteps. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that this is an old and used argument. وَكَذَلِكَ مَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّنْ نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. So This has been the repeated argument of the nations before you. Each time a prophet would be sent to them, their argument was, we have found our forefathers worshiping in a certain way, and we're going to take that way of worship as a guidance, so we're going to follow their footsteps. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although they recognized the honorable lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came from the line of leaders, including his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, the leader of Mecca al-Mukarramah. But at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not wealthy, and to them, material wealth was one of the key factors of leadership at that time. So they said, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Why wasn't this Qur'an revealed to one of the two leaders of the two villages, Mecca al-Mukarramah and al-Ta'if? Talking about Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira as one of the leaders of Mecca al-Mukarramah, and maybe Urwa ibn Mas'ud, one of the leaders of Ta'if from Taqif. So they are asking, why wasn't it revealed to one of these prominent leaders? And here you can find echoes of the argument of Bani Israel, or the group of Bani Israel, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them Talut as the leader to lead them in that battle with Goliath or Jalut and his army. And they said, why was the leadership given to him and not to someone else who's more wealthy or more famous? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in this ayah here in Surah Az-Zukhruf, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Are they the ones who distribute the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decide who should receive that mercy and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the hearts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best recipient of that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's going to live up to that message. If it were sent to Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he was an arrogant person. Yes, he was very wealthy, very famous, very well known, but he was very arrogant. That's why he rejected the faith out loud, and he died as a non-believer. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, for so many years, he kept fighting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, close to the end of his life, he came up to his senses and he recognized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true prophet, and he followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to commission him to go to his own tribe, Thaqif, to invite them to Islam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned him, Thaqif, until the very close to the very end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were a pocket of resistance against Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, they're gonna kill you. But he said, oh Rasulullah, you don't know how dear I am to Taqif. Even if I were asleep, they would hate to wake me up. They would love me so much. They trust me so much. I have been their leader for so long. And he went to invite his people to Islam, and they killed him as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had expected, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the sacrifice of this good companion. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to me, and in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's quite similar to Sahib Yasin, Habib al-Najjar, that we talked about before, the one who invited his people to follow the prophets and the messengers, and they ended up killing him. So it was the same fate. He was a martyr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a scene from the Day of Judgment, a scene of friendship. What does friendship translate into on the Day of Judgment? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. The good friends, the very close friends on that day, the Day of Judgment, are going to be pointing fingers against each other, and they're going to be the enemies of each other, except for those who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu narrates in an explanation of this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would resurrect on the Day of Judgment two close friends in this life. But these two friends were not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them dies first. And when he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask him, tell me about your friend. And he would say, oh, he was the worst friend possible. He never advised me to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or follow Islam. Whenever I forgot, he never reminded me. Whenever I did something wrong, he never corrected me. Oh Allah, don't guide him to Islam and let him die as I've died without belief. And then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects both of them and tell them, let each one of you tell me about the other. And they would start accusing each other of betraying the other one, not guiding them, not reminding them, not helping them, and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell his angels, take them both to the hellfire. And on the other hand, when two good friends live in this life, following the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of them dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him, tell me about your friend. So he would say, oh, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the best friend. Whenever I forgot, he reminded me. Whenever I did something wrong, he corrected me. He helped me and he supported me and so on. And oh Allah, let him die as a believer as I died as a believer. And then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them both together and asks them, tell me, let each one of you tell me about the other. And they would start praising each other. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell his angels, take them both to my mercy and to paradise. So here the ayat, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ يَا عِبَادِي لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ. All my servants who have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no worry on you today and you're not going to be sad. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ ادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ أَنْتُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ تُحْبَرُونَ يطاف عليهم بصحاف من ذهب وأكواب وفيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين وأنتم فيها خالدون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting them to go to paradise to enjoy what he subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for his pious servants. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, وتلك الجنة التي أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون لكم فيها فاكهة كثيرة منها تأكلون. This paradise that you have inherited as a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his mercy for whatever you have sent forward of the good deeds, you get into that paradise with your spouses, with your families, without any worry, without any sadness, and you're going to eat from it and you're going to enjoy all of the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared in it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to the other camp. إِنَّ الْمُجْرِمِينَ فِي عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ لَا يُفَتَّرُ عَنْهُمْ وَهُمْ فِيهِ مُبْلِسُونَ وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. That the oppressors, the criminals, the ones who did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reside in the hellfire eternally as a punishment for what they have done. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by saying, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ. We did not cause any injustice to them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. But they were the ones who were unfair and unjust against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against their own selves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a horrible scene from that punishment in the hellfire, with these dwellers of the hellfire residing in it for probably millennia or a very long time. And then they would call the guardian of the hellfire, Malik, the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described. When he ascended to the heavens in the Mi'raj, he said that I looked at this grim, frowning angel, and I asked, who is that? And I was told, this is Malik, the guardian of the hellfire. He has never smiled since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him, because of the horror that he can see in the hellfire that he has been in charge of guarding. So after spending a long time in this hellfire, these criminals call for Malik. They ask him, وَقَالُوا يَا وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ. They call, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. Let your Lord end our life, end our eternal torture in this hellfire. And according to the Mufassirin, they said that for a very long time, he would not respond to their calls for help and their cries. He would not even respond to them. And then after so many calls and after so long of a time, he would respond to them by saying, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You are here to stay. You have no way out. You have no exit from this hellfire. We have talked about something similar to that at the beginning of Surah Al-Hijr, when the dwellers of the hellfire, after having stayed there for a very long time, and there are still some believers who are there in the hellfire, and they ask them, look, you claim to be believers and it didn't help you much. You are here with us in the hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would authorize his angels, extract from the hellfire anyone who has ever said La ilaha illallah or La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, or extract from the hellfire anyone with a very tiny amount of faith in their heart, maybe a mustard seed of faith in their heart. And the angels would extract these believers from the hellfire, cleanse them, purify them, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them to go to paradise. And at that time, those non-believers in the hellfire would have wished they have said at least once, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. It is at that time, then they call for Malik, and Malik finally responds to them by saying, Innakum makithun, and the hellfire would be sealed. So whoever is there stays there eternally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to deny the false allegations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son. قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدٌ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. Tell them, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a son, I would be the first to worship him. However, glory is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what you are saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve what you're saying, as he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator in the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Lord in the heavens and he is the Lord on earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ad-Dukhan is a surah that's talking about one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, which is smoke. A thick smoke that covers everything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِي السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ يَغْشَ النَّاسِ هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Wait until the sun is covered in thick and deep smoke that is going to cover people, and this is a severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people are going to say, رَبَّنَا اكْشِفْ عَنَّا الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ. Oh Allah, relieve that punishment from us. We are believers. أَنَّا لَهُمُ الذِّكْرَى. Now it's too late for them to remember the truth that came to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives samples of their denials of the different prophets and messengers, including again a brief chapter of the story of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and his brother Sayyidina Harun ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who came to their people inviting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they denied them. And finally, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam made the supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَدَعَ رَبَّهُ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ مُجْرِمُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to travel by night to lead his people out of Egypt under the darkness of the night. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the final abode of Fir'aun and his army who were drowned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what kind of a waste was the life of these people who did not live up to their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did they leave behind? كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْظَرِينَ. That they have left behind jannat, wa'uyun, gardens and water ponds and water sources and springs, وزروعٍ ومقامٍ كريم, and plantations and vegetables and fruits and crops, and a very easy and honorable and dignified living, a comfortable living, ونعمةٍ كانوا فيها فاكهين, and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Egypt at that time was, and for many centuries afterwards, it was the breadbasket of the world, with the fertile land in the Nile Delta and the Nile Valley. It used to be a superpower, and it used to feed the different countries around it. We learned about the story of Sayyidina Yusuf ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, how Egypt survived the famine, and people used to come from neighboring countries to get their rations from Egypt. And then when they left all of that behind, كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ, other people more deserving inherited all of these bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those departed, those deceased, those who were being drowned, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنْضَرِينَ, neither the sky nor the earth did suffer from losing them. They did not cry for their loss. They did not even care about their loss, because again, the heavens and the earth are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they act upon the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they did not care about those people who have departed disobeying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another scene from the Day of Judgment, and about, since we're talking about fruits and gardens and vegetables, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of a very ugly tree. إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُّومِ طَعَامُ الْأَثِيمِ كَالْمُهْلِ يَغْلِي فِي الْبُطُونِ كَغَلْيِ الْحَمِيمِ خُذُوهُ فَاعْتِلُوهُ إِلَى سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ ثُمَّ صُبُّوا فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ إِنَّ هَذَا مَا كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَمْتَرُونَ. أبو جهل لعنه الله, عمرو بن هشام, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited this ayah, the beginning of the ayah, إِنَّ شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُّومِ, شَجَرَةَ الزَّقُّومِ, he said, you know, he was mocking the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling the people around him, making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know what is that zakkum that he's talking about? What is shajarat al-zakkum? It's the palm tree. And al-zakkum, this is the ripe dates that we mix with grease and we cook it and we swallow it. It's a very tasty food that we eat, and we're going to swallow it without even chewing it. From that's the amount of love that we have for that kind of food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to that mocking of Abu Jahl by clarifying exactly what is shajarat al-zaqum. Al-zaqum, ta'am al-athim, the food of the great sinner, this man and the people who are like him. Kal-muhli yagli fil-butun, it's like molten metal that boils in the bellies of those who eat that the fruits of that ugly tree. كغلي الحميم, like molten lava from a volcano, it's boiling and it's eating everything in their internal organs and their stomachs and their intestines. خذوه فاعتلوه إلى سواء الجحيم, this arrogant person who was making fun of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take him and drag him to the hellfire, and then shower him with molten metal again. ثُمَّ صُبُّوا فَوْقَ رَأْسِهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْحَمِيمِ, and then pour on his head the liquids of the hellfire that are boiling. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now making fun of this ugly person. ذُقْ, now you were talking about tasting and enjoying the taste of shajarat al-zaqum, now taste it. ذُقْ, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ, he was claiming, Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham, one of the leaders of Bani Makhzum, he was saying, I am an honorable person, I am a generous person, I am one from a prominent family, who can hurt me, who can punish me, who can torture me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used his own words. He claimed, I am Aziz, I am Kareem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making fun of him. ذُقْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْكَرِيمُ, taste, you are the one who claimed to be prominent and mighty and of a great lineage. Now it's your time to suffer your denial of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a scene from the enjoyment of the believers. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. The ones who were mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, observing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now they are in a safe haven, in an honorable place, in an honorable residence granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ. In gardens and springs. يَلْبَسُونَ مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Now, if the dwellers of the hellfire are going to be wearing custom-made clothes made out of fire, now the dwellers of paradise are going to be wearing custom-made clothes made out of the finest and the softest and the smoothest of silk. كَذَٰرِكَ وَزَوَّجِنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give them beautiful spouses from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ آمِنِينَ. If the dwellers of the hellfire are eating الزَّقُّوم, now the dwellers of paradise are eating from every fruit they wish for, and they are in peace, they are in security from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا الْمَوْتَةَ الْأُولَى. They're gonna live there eternally without tasting death, except for the earthly death that has already preceded. وَوَقَاهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And the greatest, one of the greatest bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He spared them from the punishment in the hellfire. That is a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a great victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Jathiyah. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Surah Al-Jathiyah, يَجْثُ, which means sitting on one's knees. So it's a certain way of sitting down on one's knees, touching the ground. And now that's the expectation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayah where this word was mentioned, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا. On the day of judgment, you're going to see each nation sitting in anticipation. They're sitting after having stood for a very long time on their feet. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to sit, they're going to sit on their knees with a anticipation of what is to come next. When are we going to be called? Where are we going to be taken? In which hand are we going to receive our book? How long is going to be our questioning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is going to be... Are we going to be taken to Malik? Or are we going to be taken to Ridwan, the guardian of paradise? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that after mentioning some of the great signs of the power and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong the dominion of the heavens and the earth. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَخْسَرُ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. And when the day of judgment is called, it's on that day that the deniers are going to lose. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً. And you're going to see each nation sitting together on their knees, congregating. كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Each nation is going to be called for their own book. So there is a collective book and there is an individual book. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. Of course, people are going to come to the questioning, the individual questioning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually. However, before that, they're going to be gathered in groups, and each group is going to be led by its own leader. So the people of Fir'aun are going to be led by Fir'aun. The people of An-Namrud are going to be led by An-Namrud. The people of Kisra are going to be led by Kisra. And these are the worst leaders because they're going to lead their people to destruction. And then after they are joined, they are congregated under the leadership of that leader, the believers are also going to come following their leader, and our leader is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have lived following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life, that he's going to be our leader and our guide on the Day of Judgment to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then each nation is going to be told, هَذَا كِتَابُنَا يَنْطِقُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. This is our book. This is the collective book talking about that nation and about their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their rebellion against their own prophets and messengers. The book which documents all of their details and all of their actions is going to talk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that book talk about what's written inside. هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون. We were writing down in full detail everything that you were doing, and that now is the result. فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيدخلهم ربهم في رحمته ذلك هو الفوز المبين. Now the believers, if their book is talking positively about their actions, these are the ones who lived in faith and who did the good deeds, their book is going to confess to that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to his mercy and his paradise. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ. This is the great victory. And on the other hand, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. And the deniers, the non-believers, weren't my signs, weren't my ayat recited in your presence? So you were arrogant and you denied them and you were criminals by causing injustice against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against your own selves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something that's so painful to the non-believers. وَقِيلَ الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَاب لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. My Lord never forgets anything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are going to be feel that they are forgotten by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as they have forgotten the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not respond to their supplication and to their cries and calls for help. So they would feel as if they were completely forgotten, left to rot in the hellfire eternally without being saved from it. Surah Al-Ahqaf. And Al-Ahqaf is the village of Ad, the village of Sayyidina Hud ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. And Al-Ahqaf is a place which is in northern Arabia, on the borders between Arabia and Asham. We mentioned before that among Al-Arab Al-Ba'idah, the Arabs who did not leave any offspring behind them, they perished and they did not live. Their ancestry did not continue but was terminated with the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, included Ad and included Thamud, the two tribes of Ad and Thamud, the people of Sayyidina Hud and Sayyidina Salih ala nabina wa alayhim as-salatu wassalam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about some very beautiful ayat. Again, three major stories in this surah. One is related to the believers, the ones who were observing the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acted accordingly. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is similar to a certain extent to the ayah that comes in Surah Fussilat. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. That is the ayah in Surah Fussilat. And now the ayah in Surah Al-Ahqaf. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. that those who lived a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said the true word, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they lived up to that word, living to fulfill that word that our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There's no worry about them. They're not going to face any sadness in the eternal life. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. These are the people of paradise, the owners of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them inherit this paradise. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Living there eternally, جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. A sign of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upholding the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is following the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. Again, you can see after the reminder of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes the reminder of being kind to one's parents, especially the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. The mother had the pain and the agony of pregnancy and the pains of pregnancy and then the pain of labor and the patience of bringing that child and bringing up the child and feeding that child until the child can start growing. حَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا. The pregnancy and the nursing, the milking of that child is for 30 months. So the minimum from that, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah concluded that the minimum viable pregnancy is 6 months. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ. That women should nurse their babies. If they want to fulfill the full term of nursing, it is 2 years. So if you subtract 2 years, which is 24 months from 30 months, what is left is the minimum viable pregnancy period, which is 6 months. And then what does that newborn do when they grow up? If they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they reach the age of peak maturity, which again, the age at which most of the prophets and messengers have been sent and commissioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ 40 سَنَةً. Until when that child grows up and they reach that peak, that apex of their maturity, and they reach the age of 40, what do they say? What do they do? The beautiful dua, very beautiful dua. I urge everyone to remember that dua and keep saying it because it's a sign of gratitude. قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. You may have heard this dua before in a certain very close version to that in the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah An-Naml, when he recognized the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he could communicate with these ants that were calling for escape to stay away from the path of the army of Sayyidina Sulaiman. He said, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'matak. Oh Allah, enable me to thank and to show gratitude for the bounty that you have bestowed upon me, وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ, and on my parents before me, وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَى. The proof of showing gratitude is to do good deeds that are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. But Sayyidina Sulaiman said, and Sayyidina Sulaiman said, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. And oh Allah, give me a good offspring to continue my mission after me. And then Sayyidina Sulaiman said, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And get me with your mercy among your pious and good servants. That was the conclusion to the dua of Sayyidina Sulaiman. But the conclusion of this dua and the dua here, which has a very large part in common, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. That's the common part. And then the end of the dua, إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am coming to you in repentance and I am submitting to your will, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to this beautiful supplication? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ وَعْدَ الصِّدْقِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُعَدُونَ. These are the ones from whom we're going to accept the best that they have done. We're going to forgive and forgo the minor sins that they may have committed, but we're going to accept the best that they have done, and we're gonna consider the best that they have done. وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ, we're going to forgive their minor sins among the people and dwellers of paradise. وَعْدَ الصِّدْقِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُعَدُونَ, this is the true promise that we have given them, and now we are fulfilling that promise. Remember when we mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he asked Sayyidina Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, Ya Mu'ad, atadri ma haqq al-ibad ala Allah wa ma haqq Allah ala al-ibad, aw ma haqq Allah ala al-ibad wa ma haqq al-ibad ala Allah, what is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his servants, and what is the right of the servants on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the mere translation was that the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his servants is to worship him without associating anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the right of the servants on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would take them to paradise. So this is a great news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again contrasts that with the person who did not show kindness to his parents. What did that person say? وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفٍّ لَكُمَا. Uff. And the word uff, by the way, is a universal word. It is the same word in any language. So anyone who's bored and rebellious against something, they say, uff. It is not Arabic, it is not English, it's not French, it's a universal language. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not even show any sign of boredom with your parents by saying uff. Just even this word by itself is so offensive. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same word. This is the behavior of that son who does not show gratitude to his parents. وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفٍّ لَكُمَا. Uff to both of you, not just to one of them, but to both of them. And then he shows his rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجَ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِي. Are you promising me this meaningless promise that I'm going to be resurrected after I die, and there are so many nations before me that have perished? Are you claiming that all of these are going to be resurrected again? And the parents who are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are reminding their sons, وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهَ وَيْلَكَ آمِنْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. And they are seeking, they're calling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them deal with this bad seed, bad son. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهَ. And they're telling him, وَيْلَكَ, woe is to you, آمِنْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ. Believe, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth. فَيَقُولُ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. And he would respond back by saying, these are just old stories and old legends. I don't believe in these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that he accepted the best from the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us now to the payback for the non-believers. أولئك الذين حق عليهم القول في أمم قد خلت من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين. These are the ones on whom the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be fulfilled. If you deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be punished accordingly. And that applies to both jinn and ins. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا خَاسِرِينَ. These are the true losers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling that the reward on the Day of Judgment, or the punishment on the Day of Judgment, is based on humans have committed. وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. every group is going to take a full reward and a full accounting of their actions, and no injustice is going to happen to any of these groups. So that is one story. The second story is the story of Sayyidina Hud ala Nabina alayhi salatu wassalam. To his people, he was sent to his people of Ad in Al-Ahqaf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam story, وَاذْكُرْ أَخَا عَادٍ إِذْ أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. He came to them, reminding them about the prophets and messengers who were sent to the nations before them, telling them that he cares about them, that he's worried if they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to be affected by a severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, and then the most severe punishment on the Day of Judgment. And what was their response? قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا لِتَأْفِكَنَا عَنْ آلِهَتِنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Are you coming here to deceive us from worshipping our idols? Bring what you have promised if you are truthful. And he said that I can only preach what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me to do, and I'm conveying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me. And then, you know, for people who live in a desert, rain is a great blessing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, living in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, whenever he saw a storm approaching and dark clouds approaching, most of the people in Al-Madinah Munawwara, which was like an oasis, it has plantations and crops and farms and so on, and they relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide them with water from the sky, from the heavens, in the form of rain. So whenever they saw these dark clouds approaching, they used to feel happy because now we're going to have rain and it's going to irrigate our crops. However, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to see these dark clouds approaching, his face would change. They wouldn't see the habitual smile that they used to see on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would be worried and anxious, and people would ask him, "Ya Rasulullah, why would you be worried and anxious when you see these dark clouds, which are a good sign?" He sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, because I would be worried if that's a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's exactly what happened to the people of Sayyidina Hud, the tribe of Ad. And here's the ayah that confirms that. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. When they saw these dark clouds approaching, they said, these are the clouds that are carrying that rain that we've been waiting for. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them, بَلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ. This is what you have been rushing. When your prophet told you, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you don't wait for the punishment and you made fun of him, here's what you have been, what he has been promising you. هَذَا مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. It's a strong wind with a severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this wind and this rain is going to demolish and destroy everything in its path with the command of its Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. Over after that week of torture and punishment, سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ, 7 nights and 8 days, every living creature in that village was destroyed, and the only thing that was still standing was their houses, their empty houses. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْقَوْمَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is the way we reward the oppressors and the criminals who rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third story comes on the way back of the trip of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he invited the people of Mecca to embrace Islam for so many years and they rejected him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to venture out of Mecca, especially after he lost his two earthly supporters, Abu Talib, his uncle, and Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, his wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that same year after the loss of these two supports, he went to Al-Ta'if, to Thaqif, the tribe of Thaqif, to invite them to Islam. And they rejected him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mistreated him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have mentioned before. On the way back from that trip, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the humans have rejected you, there's another species that is accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a group of jinn. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in solitude was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting the Quran on his trip back from At-Ta'if, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his way a group of jinn who were traveling, and when they heard that beautiful voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Quran, they said, "Stop, pause, let's rest here and listen to this beautiful recitation." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the events of that, or the story of these events. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَى قَوْمِهِمْ مُنْدِرِينَ قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِهِ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُجِرْكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ وَمَنْ لَا يُجِبْ دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءُ أُولَئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Beautiful ayat talking about this event when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these jinn on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they listened to his beautiful recitation, and as soon as they listened to it, they recognized it. This sounds much, the guidance that come in these ayat sounds much like the guidance that came through Sayyidina Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. For some reason, they did not mention Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. They went back to Sayyidina Musa. قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِهِ. O our people, respond to that caller from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَآمِنُوا بِهِ, and believe in him. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُجِرْكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you believe in him and you follow his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will forgive your sins and will save you from severe punishment. And those who do not, those who reject, وَمَنْ لَا يُجِبْ دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And those who reject that call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not gonna be immune from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not be able to escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ, and they will not find allies apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, these would be the true misguided ones, and they're gonna be the true losers. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِنَّ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيِيَ الْمَوْتَى بَلَىٰ إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Haven't they seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now this is an address to all of the creation, the ins and the jinn, the accountable creation. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا, haven't they seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the heavens and the earth and was not exhausted or tired by their creation, it was not a hard task to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِنَّ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيَى الْمَوْتَى. Don't they think that the one who created everything from nothing is able and capable of reviving the dead? And the answer comes, بَلَىٰ, indeed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a final scene from the Day of Judgment. وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. And when the non-believers are brought in a parade in front of the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, isn't that the truth? Wasn't that what you were promised? Wasn't that part of the promise and the message of all the prophets and messengers warning you about that hellfire? قَالُوا بَلَى وَرَبِّنَا, indeed, O Allah, this is true. قَالَ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Now you will have to taste that punishment for your rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after these stories, the story of al-jinn, the story of the believers, and all of these beautiful stories in this surah, comes the commandment to Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, endure patience. Again, this is nothing new, nothing unusual. This is what all the prophets before you had to face. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ وَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلْ لَهُمْ. Endure patience as the mighty ones, the ones with great might of the prophets and messengers before you have endured patience. And do not rush anything. The punishment will come at the time of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selects for these arrogant deniers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ مَا يُعَادُونَ لَمْ يَلْبَتُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً مِّن نَهَارٍ. As if on the day when they see what they have promised, that earthly life is going to be shown in front of their eyes as a fleeting moment, as if they have lived only for an hour in a morning or on the day. بلاغ. This is a revelation, this is a warning, these are news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَلْ يُهْلَكُ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Would anyone perish except for those who selected to go out of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who appreciate the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who look back when they reach the age of 40 or at any moment of their life and they appreciate the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that bounty and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that bounty to stay for future generation of their family to be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us with our close friends in this life on the Day of Judgment as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each one praising the other friend and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding his angels to take us to paradise. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spare us from any punishment in this earthly life in the form of a storm or a pandemic or that thick cloud of smoke that is going to precede the end of life on this earth and the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who ponder upon the ayat and recognize the beauty and the truth that come from these ayat, as the wise members of that jinn group recognize the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, next time we're going to continue with our discussion or thinking about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reflections upon the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Muhammad and Surah Al-Fath, inshallah. So until next time, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.